The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Flame On. This is Q, the question, who's constantly questing for cute queers. And with me I have Brian the Bear.
Hello.
And I have Dr. Drew.
Hello.
Who is not, in fact, the famous Dr. Drew with the mustache, and he is a more nerdy Gaijin Drew.
I'm the other famous Dr. Drew.
The other famous Dr. Drew. And we're all here for a Star Wars microsode called Star Wars 69 Parsecs, which is a reference I hope somebody gets.
And I think at least a couple people will.
Yeah, with an X at the end, by the way.
Parsecs, exactly. And for today, we're going to talk about the queers who may or may not be in the Star Wars saga, the six movies we have. We're going to talk about any gays or females we'd like to see in the new trilogy. And me and Drew have played the Star Wars X-Wing miniatures game. We're going to tell you about that. We're also going to review the Star Wars comic book that Brian Wood is writing. And we're going to finish things out with a soft and tender segment about, you know, back in the times where we were Star Wars fans and we were gay and how that wasn't cool, but now it's super cool.
Just like Star Wars.
Exactly. So let's just dive right in to, you know, do you guys have any people you think are gay in the six movies we have?
So really, we're like walking a fine line between slash fict here and just our own personal theories. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, yeah. Just let it, like, who do you think? I mean, obviously, I feel like the first one is the droids.
So really, by the droids, you mean C-3PO.
C-3PO and R2-D2. He's like the...
Yeah, they're basically lovers.
Yeah, he's like the grumpy little bottom in a relationship.
So usually your grumpy little bottoms are not very talkative, or they just make, like, beep sounds?
They just say bitchy things.
Is that what R2's doing the whole time?
I feel like 3PO would be more the bottom.
I do, too. I absolutely do.
He's the more effeminate one,
and
he's the one who gets bossed around by R2-D2, kind of doesn't have to say much.
Okay, you're right about that. And R2-D2 does have that claw that comes out, and God knows what he's doing to, like, repair C-3PO's circuits.
Yeah, we really don't know all the other attachments that he has, but he actually... he has the claw, but he has the thing he like puts into the Death Star mechanism to turn it to open the doors. That's like a dildo.
And just look at the shape of R2-D2.
Yes, yeah, very
that
true.
Is a penis.
That is a that
kind
is
of a
penis.
Short, stubby little penis.
That's a. Yeah. I think there's a
but
name
still.
For that.
Yeah.
Is that
chode.
Yes.
A chode.
I hate that word. Why did I even?
So if R2 is kind of the quiet, aggressive one, let's talk a little bit about C-3PO. I have had the pleasure of being in a Star Wars celebration with Anthony Daniels doing a panel. That man, that prissy little bitch, is just so gay. Exuding that effeminate like quality that makes me still uncomfortable sometimes. You know what I mean? Did any of you guys see?
He's so gay, he made you feel uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. No, but he pranced around the panel he did. It was in a big old auditorium, and he was dragging people up on stage, being very entertaining, which is what he does. But I mean, prancing and being like bitchy. He had like several moments where I felt awkward in the audience. Like he didn't get the reaction he wanted, and he made some bitchy remark about it. And then he would like make fun of the fans for being Star Wars fans. I mean, it was just very Yeah, I think he's a big old queen is what I'm saying.
He obviously is. He's super gay. And also, I feel that Joan Rivers did not have to stretch very much to do Dot Matrix.
Right.
Because it's basically the same character.
I had never thought about that. As much as her character is sort of analogous to C-3PO, I'd never thought. They're pretty close.
She's probably his fag hag in real life.
Oh my God, that'd be fabulous.
Let's be honest.
That'd be so awesome. So what other characters are like?
I feel like Obi-Wan is a classic sort of closet case, so very like priestly, of where he had never had any romance, or even in the trilogy, like there was the prequels is what I meant to say. He could have had like this love triangle thing with him, Padme, and Anakin, and they sort of made that up in the third one. They just sort of like shoved it in the movie, but it was never really there. You never really saw an attraction between them. You never see an attraction between him and any female, and he just sort of, you know, like I said, like a priest would chose to be single and live alone than act on his gay feelings.
He spent a lot of time with those younglings.
Oh, the younglings. So, you know what I just realized? In all of the Star Wars movies, and I'm not getting into the books and all the other stuff, but in all the movies, there really have been only two relationships, right? And I'm not excluding C-3PO and R2-D2. We have Han and Leia in the original trilogy, and we have Padme and Anakin in the new trilogy, and that's it. Am I missing another relationship?
Yeah, there's very little romance, and both of them are very clunky and not very well executed. I don't think romance was George Lucas's strong point.
But it's kind of like you have to have a love story.
Yeah, and when he does it
in these movies,
the first
to appeal
time,
to women,
it's actually
and us.
The first romance one between Leia and Han, it's actually believable and funny and sort of sexy, but just really entertaining.
Yeah,
new one was terrible. That freaking scene with the in the meadow with the cow thingies and oh my God, m'lady. I mean, it was ridiculous. So bad.
Your skin is soft, Padme. Oh, like sand.
It's like
I hate
creepy.
The sand.
Very creepy.
Well, Han and Leia worked in Empire Strikes Back, but even in Return of the Jedi, there just wasn't much between them.
Well, they were busy. Yeah,
I mean, there's like they share like one or two little moments with each other. That's it.
Yeah, Empire was kind of the high point of that. So relationship in general are pretty non-existent. And the Jedi are basically priests. So they're not allowed to really have any kind of permanent attachments. Which to me makes me think they're a bunch of whores.
Which is a great rule that worked out really well.
Oh yeah, for the priest.
For the Catholic Church.
But I mean they're probably
for Anakin who destroyed them all. Well, I can't have sex? Die.
Well no, see that's the thing. The Jedi Code does not say you can't have sex. The Jedi Code says you can't become like attached. Which again means you're basically a whore. You can sleep with whoever you want, you just can't fall in love.
I never thought of it that way.
Oh yeah. And they all wear robes. Come on. And they carry phallic lightsabers. Hello.
Well, I know we're trying to stay out of the expanded universe a little bit, but Joshua and I have been watching the Clone Wars a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
that's
go for
like
it.
Canon, though. That's
go
not
for
expanded.
It. Go for it. It is. Anything that's not the movie is some we like to separate out.
You,
but
you.
Go ahead and
it's as high as canon as it gets outside of the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But Obi-Wan does kind of have a relationship with a woman in that.
Really?
Oh, he does, doesn't he?
Yeah,
and Darth Maul. Spoiler. Kills her.
That
as
bitch.
As revenge.
Well, that sucks. Now, is she a... She's not a Jedi.
No. Okay. She was a, like not a senator, but
a
leader of
queen
some planet.
Or politician
yeah.
or something.
Like the prime minister of a planet.
Because I always did... it. Going back to more expanded universe, and this is really expanded, was it Mara Jade?
Yeah, Mara Jade is the one who was trying to kill Luke all throughout the original trilogy behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then she ends up falling in love with him, and they get married, and they have a child together.
See, I really, and I know we're jumping to the new trilogy, but that's one thing I would like to see some of the trappings of the expanded universe seep into the new trilogies, you know?
Well, there's a lot of talk that's what's going to happen, is that, you know, they're going to kind of take cherry pick what they want from the expanded universe, which I think is probably a good idea. And a lot of fans want Mara Jade because she's been such a popular character
and
over the years.
Yeah, and she's a... This is the other thing. Up until the new stuff, we had, like, what? Two Jedi, a three including Yoda, and then Darth Vader, and then the Emperor. That's it. Like, those are the force-wielding people we've seen. The new trilogy, finally, we got women that are Jedi. You know, and now with the Clone Wars, like, they're fairly prominently featured, right? I don't remember all their names, but I mean...
Ahsoka.
Yeah, Ahsoka.
Nadi Gallia.
So you guys know I'm way bored than I do. But I mean, I want to see, you know, kind of transitioning to the new stuff, I want to see more female stories and stories about strong Jedi women.
Yeah, and that let's just go into our next one of what we'd like to see from the leads in the new trilogy. Do we want to see a female lead? Do we want to see? Do you think they could work an openly gay character in, or is that the Star Wars not have gay characters?
I don't know that it has to. I don't think it should be forced, if so to speak. If you had one storyline that sort of made sense, and this is true in all media, it should work. It should be fine. But like, I think it'll feel weird if like one of the major characters in Star Wars is gay, and it'll get an attention that is unfortunate because people will probably be bitchy about it and all this other stuff.
Did you see the Red Letter Media Harry Plinkett review of the new Star Trek movie that J.J. Abrams did?
No.
He said every character in that movie had a case of the not gays, and he showed, which is, and it was pretty true, that he showed that every character at one point, if they don't have a romance with a female, they would make a reference to how straight they were.
Oh wow!
Like
really?
Like Scotty, like Simon Pegg's character, he, you know, references the warp machine as like boobs or something like that, and then like Bones refers to his wife in just like a throwaway line, and so they want to make sure, even though they don't want to make it look like a cast full of queers, you know. And so I'm wondering if that was J.J. Abrams or of the script or what. So he might not actually want to have any gays in there.
Yeah, I mean, has J.J. Abrams ever done anything with strong gay characters?
Lost didn't have any gay characters.
Lost didn't have any gay characters.
Alias didn't have any gay characters, although Victor Garber is fabulous.
Although he does do some good female characters, like Alias, that was great, and in Lost, you know, they were pretty good.
Fringe didn't have any...
Was he a part of Fringe?
Yeah, he was one of the original creators. He wasn't one of the like main runners, but he didn't really run Lost either. He actually... I'm sure we're missing something. Felicity, there was probably a gay character in Felicity. There had to be. That was one of those shows that just, I would expect it, but... I don't know, actually. It's a good question.
I don't think we're going to... I definitely think we'll get a strong female lead, like for example, who would we cast if we...
Oh, God.
What?
I can't imagine who you would want to see in
Katniss Everdeen.
Oh, we were just talking about this before the show.
I think it's a ridiculous... I don't know. She has been... Was it Jennifer Lawrence?
Yes.
Jennifer Lawrence.
I like to call her J-Law because we're good friends.
Oh, God. She... actually, I know someone who knows her. Like went to school with her in Tennessee, I think. I forgot who it is now. But anyway, she's just everywhere now. It's too much. Like I know this is the thing. She was in X-Men First Class,
yes.
Right? And then she did
probably her worst performance.
It was okay. I mean,
she Winter's Bone when she got nominated for her first
Bone was great.
Oscar.
That was good. And then she did
Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, and then now the Silver Linings Playbook. Like I think she's playing out too much. I don't want to see Star Wars stock their casts with a bunch of famous people. Like I think having Mace Windu as Samuel Jackson, the only reason it worked was because he's Samuel fucking Jackson and he's a badass. And that worked.
And had a purple lightsaber.
Like, that's okay.
Some would argue that it didn't work.
Well, right, but it was a fine line.
Because he was got to do nothing that he does well.
Well, but I mean, that's... Yeah, exactly.
He's not allowed to say fuck a single time
or scream at anybody.
Series.
I want to see a Star Wars that is basically full, a universe full of people who we don't know. And... Yes, I want to see some of the original people come back. It's going to happen. But I don't want to see, like, celebrities show up. Even having Jimmy Smits as Bail Organa. Distracting. It's
that
distracting.
Because he was, like, campaigning to get in those movies.
And, was he?
Yeah.
Star Wars nerd?
No, yeah. He was, like, obsessed with it, and he got it. But, I mean, well, let's look at the previous cast. Who did they... Natalie Portman. She was, like, on the rise. Ewan McGregor had done a couple of good movies.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson, he had been in a lot of movies, but I feel like he's at a higher point now than he was back then.
Yeah, but he was a known actor. He wasn't a... He was a good everyman sort of actor.
Yeah, I mean... Who else was...
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think what was being said before is that maybe even the prequels would have been better if there had been, like, different cast and they didn't just try to stack it full of celebrities.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, well, how about... Let's look at Star Trek. Uh-huh. Chris Pine. He was unknown.
Exactly.
Zachary
Quinto.
Well,
all of Star Trek is they're slightly known, but they're not.
Simon
overexposed.
Pegg is pretty famous.
Right. They're not overexposed, or they're a geek favorite like Simon Pegg. And Zachary Quinto, he just probably nailed the audition, and I mean he's fabulous too. Anyway, so. I don't know. I really do prefer the in a fictional thing like that. I don't want a well-known actor coming in and taking a role like that. I don't know. It just doesn't work
as
well for me.
So, is there anyone that you can think of who's sort of under the radar that would make a good lead, like male or female?
See, the problem is by the time this comes out, like Benedict Cumberbatch, everybody will know who he is from Sherlock and then from Star Trek. To whatever the hell they're calling it.
Star Trek Into Darkness.
I was actually thinking earlier, we were talking about who might make a good Jedi, and this totally goes against my whole thing, but Charlize Theron. I don't know why.
I would watch Charlize Theron do anything.
I could totally see her as a badass Jedi Master.
I love how you're like, no celebrities. Charlize Theron.
I know. Like I said,
she'd be a Sith Lord. She would not be a Jedi.
Oh, she could be Mara Jade, right? She could seduce
an older Mara Jade. Yeah.
Oh wait.
No, but she's younger than Mark Hamill.
Oh yeah. She's got to be old by now, huh?
I don't remember in the books.
Old. Have you seen a picture of him?
No.
He's like put on a lot of weight and he's really old.
Huh.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not shocked.
And same thing with Carrie Fisher.
Harrison Ford still is in decent shape. I mean,
yeah.
But Harrison Ford has not been looking that great these past few years either.
No, they're all going downhill, which is why I'm actually shocked. Well, I know they're old, but I'm just shocked that there is this like movement afoot to have them back in the movies.
Well, yeah, they're going to be in mentor-like roles. They're going to, like, Luke is going to be like the Obi-Wan of
this
film.
Yeah, but even then, he's got to get into shape. He's got to start a...
He's going to be in a big robe.
That's true. Yeah.
He's not going to be showing off his ass.
You know, robes aren't all that flattering sometimes for fatter people. I mean, they can be, I don't want to see my muumuu dressed Jedi's flashing their lightsabers.
I'm going to point to Abrams' Star Trek, and he.
Well, it's funny he had that.
Very a little snippet of like Spock in there, just like a dash to like acknowledge him as like the predecessor to all of this.
Right.
But then the movie wasn't about him. I think it's going to be like that.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, of course, since he is the new director of the Star Wars, I guess at least the first movie, seventh movie, however they call it, you know, whatever they think would do with it. But I mean. Do you think he has learned a lot from reinvigorating a franchise in his Star Trek experience, and he might bring that to the table and sort of do the same thing? So will we make the same choices given that he's seen how they worked or didn't work? You know?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, he didn't really make a lot of bad decisions in Star Trek. Can you think of anything like major that he like dropped the ball on?
I don't think his villain was very... exciting. I felt Nemo, was that what it was?
Nero.
Nero is kind of bland as a villain, and I know he was meant to be sympathetic, but like the way it was portrayed and even the story itself, I wasn't sold on it. But I mean, all of his other casting decisions and all the story art, I liked a lot of what he did. I think there should be less lens flares, if anything, in the new Star Wars. I think maybe there's
he can't not do a lens flare though.
it's kind of ridiculous.
We're gonna have lightsaber flares.
And that's where it makes sense. But I definitely would like to see him actually have believable, fully fleshed out characters as opposed to these kind of caricatures that Star Wars is known for. You know, more Han Solo, less. Less Padme. I like that.
No Padme.
Well, she's dead. So,
well, you got what you wanted.
Too soon. Do we want to see the droids back? That's something I don't think
they're
going to
be back.
Yeah,
I would think. I would certainly hope.
Because George Lucas said long, long time ago, he's like, "Oh, this is R2-D2 and C-3PO's story because they're like the ones who watch it all.
They're in every movie, no matter what."
So when I was a kid, one of the things I remember them saying, and I don't know who came up with this, where it was said, was that the original trilogy was always, always meant to be the middle story, and that there was a story that came before, a trilogy that came before, and a trilogy that came after.
Yeah, well, George Lucas said that back then.
Okay, so he did say that, and then you know went away from that over the years.
There's a million conflicting reports of like, oh yeah, it was always a trilogy, but originally it was a standalone. Oh, New Hope was a standalone movie, like,
and it does work.
And he's like, oh no, it's a trilogy now, and he's like, oh no, there's prequels and sequels, and you know, you're like
making it up as he goes along.
I feel like he did. I feel like when we have something like that, and someone asks, is there more? You say yes.
Well, that's true. The one thing I will say is I don't care what they do as far as gay, straight, you know, romance. the fact that Lucas is going to be in such a small, maybe advisory, maybe not even advisory role, is amazing. Because
yeah.
I think
I really
the
hope so.
Best Star Wars stuff that has come out in the last decade or more even hasn't had nothing to do with him. It's either been the Clone Wars stuff that like Tarkovsky did or Tartakovsky, whatever, or even the new stuff, the Clone Wars, the video games like Old Republic, all the Old Republic stuff that they've done from the comics on. Even that game, did you see the preview for Star Wars 1313?
Yeah.
That looked amazing. And
I mean,
so
that was all
cool.
Gameplay, but.
But I mean, even as like a little movie, like, I would love to see that world explored.
Although I will say this, George Lucas comes up with the stories for Clone Wars. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, he like gives the ideas to the writers and they like write them up, which sounded crazy to me. But every time I read an interview about it, they're like, oh yeah, George wanted this and George wanted that. So apparently he's got a big hand in that. And that series has generally been well received. I mean, it's clunky
a little more
episodes
kid centric too.
Yeah, and sometimes it's kind of violent. I mean, which
it can
I wouldn't
get very
say
violent for
very
a
dark
kid's show,
and
kids show.
Yeah,
yeah. Like Darth Sidious shows up in the last episode we watched, and like, well, Darth Maul had just murdered Obi-Wan's, you know, girlfriend, and then he comes in and fights Darth Maul and Savage and like kicks their asses, kills Darth Maul's brother Savage, and then starts torturing Darth Maul to like end the episode. And you're
he's like, you're mine again.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
So it's kind of like crazy, like that all those things went down. And in the episode before that, who's John Favreau's character, who is this like badass bounty hunter?
Favreau?
Yes. And he fought, he was like the Death Watch bounty hunter, and he fought Darth Maul, and Darth Maul chopped his head off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And took his black vibro sword.
Ooh, vibro sword. Can we talk about one thing real quick? I just thought about in the Sith relationship, there is always two, a master and an apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does that sound like anything else in the gay and, or I guess not just gay, but you know.
That's a very sexual.
No, not at all.
Sexual,
not at all.
Sort of a top bottom thing, but also sort of a master slave thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like that.
S&M, Sith and Sith.
And they're all in black and they do like the leather. You know, with I don't know. That's kind
and of Palpatine and Vader, they have a weird relationship, and that's getting explored in the comic too that just started.
Oh, I love it. Oh my god. We gotta talk about like Star Wars and other media and kind of what that's happened. But are there any other gay sort of tropes that we could see brought into the Star Wars universe besides like a gay relationship? Do we want to have like I don't know. I don't know. Clubs. I mean, they have shown a little bit of the nightclub scene in the new
trilogy.
Hey,
you want to buy some death sticks?
Yeah, I mean,
you don't want to sell me death sticks.
That's like that kind of stuff also seems a little distracting and too tongue-in-cheek. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like the expanded universe is, they have to give the okay for it to be canon, for them to allow it to be published, printed, or made into a video game, whatever else. And I would like to see some secondary characters maybe be gay, maybe not.
Yeah.
Outwardly gay in the movies, but maybe explored in some of the expanded universe. I don't know.
I could have seen like Chewbacca maybe, but didn't he have like kids back on Kashyyyk? I don't know.
Celebrating Life Day.
That is something. I mean, you know, Star Wars now is fairly serious, but I remember back when they had like the Life Day special. You know, they celebrated
the Christmas special.
It was fucking ridiculous and just like so over the top. And
Carrie Fisher singing.
Carrie Fisher singing B. Arthur. Talk about gay.
Yes.
The gayest moment in Star Wars history.
Carrie Fisher is quite the fag hag from what I understand. Like she.
Oh, yeah.
She definitely. I mean, whose child is she? God, not Mel Torme. Debbie Fisher? No. God, it's been a while.
Gosh, yeah,
but I mean, she's like a Hollywood, like a child of a Hollywood couple.
Mm-hmm.
So she grew up around that stuff. But anyway, yeah, I don't know.
Well, yeah. So, well, let's just go into talking about Star Wars and other media. And we can, Drew and I can talk about the Star Wars X-Wings miniature game.
I can't wait
game.
To hear about this.
And well, go ahead. Yep. Tell everybody what it is.
Oh, what is it? Mm-hmm. It's just a miniature game. It I don't know. It's basically
Well, so for those of you who don't know, a miniatures game is played with little pewter figures, or are they plastic?
Yeah, we have the little plastic ships, and it came with starter kit came with one X-wing and two TIE fighters.
Okay,
and you know, one person takes control of the Imperial side, one person takes control of the Rebel side,
uh-huh.
And you just have like this space. Like a 2-foot by 2-foot space, and then you give your ships commands, and they fly around in this space, and they have to get the other ship like in their sights, like within range, uh-huh. And in front of them, and then you start shooting at them, and you have to like, and then they have like hit points and stuff, and shields and armor and whatever.
And you're rolling dice.
You roll dice to try and hit them or evade them, and then you can. We didn't get this far into it. We did a basic game, and then there's more advanced settings, mm-hmm. And in the advanced settings, you can add like pilots and special upgrades. And everything. You can add more ships from like expansion packs like Y-Wings. They're coming out with a Millennium Falcon and Boba Fett's Slave One and everything. Yeah. So it's actually really cool and a lot of fun. Just trying to like guess what your opponent's gonna do and like swerve around and like cut them off and come up, and it felt kind of like the movie where I would like make a move thinking I was gonna like come up behind him, but he had gone behind me and like came up and like blew me up, and it was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun.
You made that last bit sound really gay.
Well, flame on.
Exactly. So is it like Hero Clicks for Star Wars? Is that what we're talking? Kind of. But it sounds like they move around more than I think the Hero Clicks do.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It is, yeah.
So it's not Pokemon.
You get a whole list of, like, you're just, like, pretty much piloting each ship with, like, little commands, and you okay. make it do, like, a sharp turn to the left or like, a straight.
But it's on a little grid kind of
thing. Yeah, there's actually no grid. They're sort of moving around.
Oh.
If you played it, you'd sort of see what I'm talking about. But you can move of, like, all these different distances, and you just choose each one can move, like, do, like, 9 different moves. Like, a short little turn or a right turn or a go straight you know, for a long distance, then turn around, do a 180.
Huh.
So you're really just giving them like commands.
Yeah, and both sides are planning all of their moves at the same exact time.
Yeah.
And then the order kind of goes out, and it might be different than what you expected it to be. So I don't know, this is probably going to go over the heads of most people, but there was a game called Robo Rally many years ago by the guy who made Magic the Gathering,
uh-huh.
And it was a board game, and it had the same basic concept where everyone just laid out all of their moves all at the same time, and there's kind of unexpected results because you end up where you didn't think you would be, or your opponent is in a different place than you thought they would be. And
well, it's more
cool.
Fair that way, I would think, because it's more like real life. In real life you don't often take turns. You
right.
know, it's just kind of all kind of going at once.
Yeah,
exactly.
But it was a lot of fun. You know, I'm looking forward to our next game. And
yeah, and they're rolling it out very slowly. Like, they just have like 4 or 5 different ships that you can buy with a limited number of pilots, and you can assemble them kind of into squadrons. So there's a lot of possibilities, but it's not like this big dump of hundreds of characters and ships and all these things that with all these convoluted rules. It's very simple.
Hmm. Now, did you guys ever play any of the old video games? I don't mean like the newer MMOs or like way
Force
back.
Unleashed.
Yeah, like even before that.
For the N64, I played Shadows of the Empire. Does that count?
No, that's getting back there.
Dash Rendar.
Rendar and Xizor, the green guy in the underground.
That one was good, or
oh yeah,
yeah.
It was a really great and really expansive game, and you got to fly ships, and you got to run around with. There was no lightsabers or anything. You got to run around with like blasters and rockets and stuff, and you fought IG-88, and you fought mm-hmm. Wampas. What else was there?
Boba Fett was in it.
You fought
it
like
a first person shooter kind of thing.
It was a third person.
A third person,
like over the shoulder, and there were a lot of piloting scenes. Like, basically the beginning of the game starts on Hoth, like during that whole battle in Empire Strikes Back.
You're like tripping up, you know, AT-ATs and
which we've never done in a video game before.
It's always fun. It's like a staple.
Did any of you or either of you ever play like the old Atari and in the NES?
Well, there's that Star Wars arcade game,
and then
from the early
'90s. Love those early ones.
Wait, which one are you talking
about?
That's the one that they
the
have
90s.
At Dave and Buster's here in Orlando.
Earlier.
Oh, with the joystick, and you get the 3 different missions. Oh my god, I love
there's
that game.
That one, if it's the one I'm thinking of, it has like the very like sort of like very simple. simple line, but very sparkly bombs at one point.
Oh, you're thinking of the old one.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that was on Atari.
Well, and it was in an arcade, too.
Yeah. Oh.
Those were like, I mean, for the time, those were amazing games. Mm-hmm. And then they had on the NES, I think I remember early on, they revisited those kind of things, and they had the, I remember that AT-AT thing where you'd like mm-hmm. have to fly the thing around. And I mean, they've pretty much on every major console, I think they've had at least a Star Wars game, if not like a nice run of them. And even now to today with computer gaming and the nicer consoles like Force Unleashed, which I love Force Unleashed. Mm-hmm. I always actually
really?
Thought I did.
Those are people, I mean, oh,
they're ridiculous games.
Yeah. I mean, I have fun on them, but yeah. I feel like they're more like prequelized of like everything people liked about the prequels with like, oh, big, you know, explosions and yeah. crazy.
And you can move
papers.
An entire Star Destroyer yeah. with
but
the Force.
That's kind of cool.
I mean, yeah, I'll agree.
Honestly, I wished that sort of, as much as that might be the prequel sort of influence, I actually think that the prequel could have done a lot more than they did with it.
Yeah,
know?
They didn't really go into like Force powers or
yeah.
anything.
Like, and I love the stuff I've seen in Force Unleashed. I love the stuff that actually I think the original Clone Wars, the Tarkovsky, I can never say his name.
Tarkovsky.
His was getting into some crazy kind of Force powers.
Oh yeah, Yoda was moving around ships like, yeah. and
awesome.
Jumping around.
And then Old Republic a little more recently, some of the cooler like battles they've shown, not the actual in-game stuff because that's a little different, but like the little trailers they would have before each one. They did some really cool stuff too in that.
Did anyone play Jedi Power Battles for PS1?
Oh my god, no.
Nope.
Oh my
ridiculous.
Gosh. It was so good. Back in the day, I used to play, when episode 1 came out, I was obsessed with episode 1 and just reliving all my favorite moments from the movie, and like Darth finding like, the fight with Darth Maul was always like my favorite thing. And the this game was before Mace Windu's lightsaber was known to be purple.
Oh, okay.
Like that's how far back I'm talking about. He had a blue lightsaber, and you could be Obi-Wan, you could be Qui-Gon, Eddie Gallia who had a pink lightsaber, Plo Koon who had an orange lightsaber, or Mace Windu who had the blue one. And it was this like sort of 2D journey, and but would sometimes be 3D or whatever. Horrible jumping. Really, everyone had all crazy force powers.
You're selling me on
it had its weird quirks, but you could do like the force dash, or like Mace Windu could throw his lightsaber and it would like circle around him and destroy everything around it. And what?
Like
it was really cool and like, but had very quirky. And yeah. Me and my brother played it to death. And if you could get the timing right, you could deflect laser bolts as they were shot at you, which is like the coolest thing.
Did you guys ever play Jedi Knight 2? I think.
Yep. You mean because they had Dark Empire, and then they had Dark yes. Empire 2, Jedi Knight, or
that's
whatever,
it.
And then they had Jedi Knight 2.
Those games probably, they were first person, but like from behind the character. I think I really fell in love with the whole Jedi power set in those games.
Yeah, well, I think that was the first time everyone was like, wow, you could be like a 3D game and be a Jedi and have yeah. a lightsaber. And
I mean, we even played, like at my office, we used to after hours kind of do like a little LAN thing, and we played the hell out of that game on multiplayer, and just endless fun of deciding, okay, can I kick people's ass with just my cool different Jedi, was it lightsaber stances, or should I just get like the rifle and just like lob shit at people, and which is more fun? And when you get tired of one, you could switch to the other, and it was just awesome Jedi deathmatch, you know. But then, the latest, of course, I guess. Actually, did anyone play the Kinect one? I heard the Kinect Jedi one was kind of not so awesome.
I think I played that at a comic convention before it came out once.
Yeah.
And it was not that fun.
Supposedly, I think it's the same one where you basically have Han Solo. And it's the song "I'm Solo" or whatever that one.
I'm flying solo.
Flying solo, and they like have it's like a dance
or was it,
sort of revolution. Sort
no,
of,
yeah, they have. I didn't
or
play
Dance
any of
Central
those.
With the Star
with
Wars
Star
characters.
Wars songs and
oh,
characters and
what
stuff.
What the
yeah.
hell?
It was
what
great,
the
and
hell?
They had like a. They would give like a weird Star Wars name to every dance move, like do the X-wing. And you had to like put your hands above your head and cross them.
Yep,
it
that's
was,
just bad. You know, it occurs to me as I'm thinking about these terrible games, another character who may actually not have been straight, we don't know, who is the little Twi'lek guy who assisted Jabba the Hutt?
That was not a Twi'lek.
It wasn't?
A Twi'lek.
It
no.
wasn't?
He was the one with the big, long, one singular long white thing that wrapped around his neck. Is that what you're talking
about? I thought that he was a Twi'lek.
I think he is a Twi'lek.
That's not a Twi'lek.
His name was...
Let me Google this while we're
talking. I think he was, but do you remember?
Bib Fortuna?
Maybe. Oh,
Bib
my God,
Fortuna.
Really?
I That's think I hilarious. Know that.
Because that almost sounds like someone misreading the O
what
Fortuna.
Was it?
Bib, B-I-B, and then
that sounds
four,
right,
F-O-R-T.
But no, he kind of had a way of carrying himself. Plus the fact that he was kind of like the maitre d' of Jabba's Sin Palace. It's possible.
Yeah.
You know, I could also see, although it's kind of on the down low.
Oh, it was a Twi'lek. I apologize.
You
I didn't,
should.
I thought Twi'leks were blue.
No. They have all kinds of colors. Old Republic didn't teach you this. You can be all kinds of colors. Remember, like,
you couldn't be a white one in Old Republic, can you?
I don't know. Lando, maybe, on the down low.
No.
No, because he was trying to get with Leia. And,
No, that's
Hello.
The
Empire.
Hello. Have you ever known I have known black men in my life who have been very outgoing with women, and they're liking a little,
That's so. Racist.
It's not racist. It's true. Tyler Perry made a movie about it. Can't be racist. No, I mean,
maybe
seriously.
He was lovers with his little weird face. Nien Nob or whatever, the guy who flew with them on the Millennium Falcon when they attacked the second
like
Death Star.
Ass, or no, actually, kind of a vagina thing. I don't know what the hell that was. It was all kinds of that. Just I hate that guy.
Well, no, his lover was clearly that guy with the metal thing on his, the cyborg.
Oh,
on his side,
yeah,
and he would just activate him and subserviently make him do what he
wants.
Is
it gay if it's a robot?
What if it's half a robot? It's
oh,
like bye.
Gosh.
He's probably bi. I would say bi.
Okay,
he
I'll
wants
give
a piece
you that.
Of Leia.
I'll give you that.
He probably got a little bit of R2 while he was there. You
yep.
know.
I'll give you that.
What happened to your droid?
Speaking of.
I happened to it. Erect it.
And he was caressing Han and that carbonite like you would not believe.
Wait, leave it alone with me.
What about Old Republic? We've talked a little bit about this on the show and some of our
first
experiences.
First of all. Oh, sorry, go on.
No, I don't want to beat a dead horse, and I know we've talked about it, but of course, in that game, originally, even though it was BioWare, you could not have same-sex relationships with women, or with the same sex. So, they did release that. We mentioned this in the last episode. There is, like, a single planet that you can actually go and have.
A gay planet.
It's a mob planet, which is kind of also weird. But it's part of this what expansion. Forgot the rise.
Now,
of the
is
cartel.
It a planet where it's
cartel,
only
yeah.
same sex or same no. sex is allowed?
I think it's where no. they actually have NPCs that you can have same sex relationships with.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
but only on that planet,
right? So yeah, they don't come with you. It's just that one content area. So they didn't go back and put it throughout other parts of the game. They kept that as its own thing. You have to buy the content expansion, blah blah blah. But now I have not played it yet. I was actually in a gay guild. If you are, let's say, a recent listener to Flame On, if you go back and look through the archive, you will find at least a couple episodes about Q and I's experience on Old Republic. They are
and
awesome.
Boy, did you have some experiences.
I just as a teaser.
His was a role-playing server.
I was in a role-playing guild on a role-playing server. I learned all about what it means to role-play as gay characters in that game. And it is not what I thought. I was very disappointed. Though I did strip off all my clothes that I could in the game at one point. So I'll leave that. You go check it out.
You should just download Second Life.
Yeah, I actually tried Second Life a long time ago, and it was so lame. And then I'm hearing
it's
about
really
this,
lame.
I'm hearing about all these penises and all this crazy.
But there's
stuff.
Like sex islands and sex clubs, and
I kind
of want
to just see it. I just want to know what the hell. I mean, anyway.
But going back to BioWare,
back to BioWare.
I think the best Star Wars game I've ever played is hands down, probably the best video game I've ever played was Knights of the Old Republic.
I agree. although going back now and playing it again, because I never finished it. I like the story. I know. I
do you even know what happens at the end?
I've read and all that since.
Because that was what made it so good. It was a really rich, expansive, very compelling story with an amazing Star Wars-esque twist that you would never see coming.
Yeah.
And the gameplay was great. The supporting cast was great. I must have played that game like 100 times. It was absolutely amazing.
Having gone back and played it, though, it doesn't hold up so
much. Oh, I know that. Especially with the second one to compare it to, which had a bad story but much better gameplay.
Yeah.
But it's just like a classic. It has like those grueling that opening part on Terrace where you don't get a lightsaber.
Oh God.
And it really made you earn being a Jedi, and a great story, absolutely amazing. I think I like that more than Zelda, you know.
Oh, you're crazy.
Or anything like
that. Well, from a story perspective, yeah, because Zelda's story is always kind of lame. But
well, Zelda's the same story every time. Ganondorf did it.
There are rumors, and again, there's so many rumors right now, that they might explore that property in a movie.
No.
I don't know.
That is one of the rumors.
Yeah, I mean,
I've heard that.
And again, who knows who made it up, where it came from? God only knows. But I would absolutely be behind that, because that'd be a great way for you to expand the franchise, keep that whole thing going, and reinvent it without drawing on the characters you know. You know, really give you a chance to reboot.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking about a movie a year. They're talking about...
We're going to be sick of Star Wars.
Maybe more than one movie a year. Could you believe that?
Yeah, because they're going to have these spinoff movies. Yes. Han's backstory, Yoda's backstory.
Yeah, they've already announced, Han Solo and Boba Fett backstory movies?
I don't know that they need
We're going to get a new Han Solo. Who do you want that to be?
Someone who's out. An out actor needs to play Han Solo and butch
Zachary
it up.
Quinto, let's just give it to him. No, let's give it to... No, not Channing Tatum.
Chris Pine actually could maybe...
I like Chris Pine. I wanted him to be Green Lantern.
Oh, he would be a good Green Lantern. Well, let's... I don't know. We'll have to... You know, I love listener interaction. If you're listening to this episode and you want to tell us some of your ideas about who should be in the new Star Wars, what gay characters, who you think is gay in the existing or expanded universe, please let us know on Facebook. We'll put this
or
up.
Or Twitter,
yeah.
Flame On Podcast.
Interact with us. Tell us your theories. We'd love to hear you. We'll mention them in a future show if they're entertaining. If you want to share your same-sex/fic with us about Star Wars, I think that'd be awesome.
We could read it aloud, have Jared.
He would enjoy that,
read
I think,
it.
Very much. So there's a lot of Star Wars in the media and other like toys, and like I have a freaking lightsaber lamp on my
wall.
Right.
Star Wars has been exploited.
Cereals.
To everything. Cereals and can openers. I have a Star Wars, like a Darth Vader spatula that I use to make pancakes and omelets and stuff. But the thing is, people love it.
It's so
like,
iconic.
When you see like a Yoda hoodie, you're like, yes. You're not like, ew, why would they do that?
The freaking Think Geeks.
Is there anything that could cross line?
ThinkGeek.com. Just They've anything done, you can possibly think of with Star Wars.
The what's the thing Han rides in the
Tauntaun?
The Tauntaun
sleeping bag.
Sleeping bag where you like unzip where he sliced it open.
But that the thing with awesome. That is that it started out as an April Fool's.
I know.
And it was so popular. People actually wanted it so much that they made it into a real product.
Which is awesome. And then LucasArts went along with it.
They'll go with anything.
But no, it has kind of... There was a point at which it kind of got too much. But you also realize that like one of the original deals they made with those movies was they gave up so much of the front end to get like the licensed properties and all the back end stuff.
That's what George Lucas did.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, I don't need many of the profits. I just need 100% merchandise.
And
rights.
My God, I mean, LucasArts sold for $4
billion. Mm-hmm.
$4 billion. Ridiculous. Although most of that's, I think most or all that's going to like education charity or something.
At least half of it, I think.
It's like, oh, wow, that's pretty awesome.
No, I think that was a low ball number anyways. I think that's just because there's no way Star Wars is worth about the same as Marvel, because I think it was 4.05.
Oh, really?
And Marvel was just an even 4. But either way, there's Marvel's no way near as valuable as Star Wars, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, look at how much those Marvel movies are making. You can release like 2 a year or more.
Right, and that's what Star Wars wants to do. Yeah, is do the Marvel stuff. You know how there's a Marvel style of comic book writing?
Yeah.
Script writing? I think now Marvel has like their own movie style, because no one's ever done what they did with the Avengers before.
Yeah. Speaking of comics, now I know way back they used to be like Marvel had the Star Wars property and they did all these Star Wars comics, which were pretty good. I actually found the other day, I have a, I think it's Simonson. Anyway, one of the Star Wars things that he did, and it's pretty great considering it's Walt Simonson. But now, then later on, was it Dark Horse?
Dark Horse took over.
Yeah.
And they still have it, I guess.
Well,
and they've been doing a lot of the they've been doing a lot of the expanded universe stuff. And then recently, they gave Brian Wood, a writer from like DMZ and Ultimate X-Men and X-Men itself, I guess, at one point.
Yes.
They gave him the property, and they're like, I guess, here you go. You can tell a story set between New Hope and Empire.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you however long until the book tanks or until Marvel takes the rights away or whatever. Like, basically, just have fun, tell your own story, and make it cool. And two issues in, we already see way more character development. We already see more, like, intricate, like, nuanced, like, use of technology. Like, I don't know if you guys are reading this, but, like, they're talking about encryption and firewalls and just, like, things, like, little trappings of technology that you think, oh, yeah, that would probably be worth mentioning. Black Ops work. They have the Black Ops X-Wings.
Which are awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
they are.
That's kind of, it's just so different for, and but good character development too.
No lightsabers.
Yeah, no Jedi stuff at all yet.
It's amazing, and there's no Jedi stuff.
Yeah, and really there won't be, because he hasn't met Yoda yet. And he's met, obviously he knows Obi-Wan, but who's he going to fight?
I don't, you know, they can always just make something up. But I will say that Obi-Wan appears on cover number 3 along with Han and Chewie in a Super Star Destroyer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on those beautiful Alex Ross covers.
Yeah, those are nice. But
what do you think of it, Drew? Do you like the series so far?
Well, I just read the first issue, but okay. I really liked it a lot. I think it's easier to develop characters that are already well developed to begin with, as opposed to a lot of the crappy characters that Dark Horse kind of turns out, and the prequels and
John Ostrander like wrote so much of that, and he used to be a really good, like, when they did the Old Republic stuff originally, the Knights of the Old Republic, it was awesome. They did all the Sith lore, and that was cool. But now, like, the most recent one I read was the Dawn of the Jedi, and like,
actually
the first like issue that just kind of gave like a broad stroke of the story, I thought was kind of cool.
Are you talking about the origin story with the pyramids that picked up aliens and put them on a forest planet?
I kind of thought that was neat.
That was the,
and it tied into the Old Republic stuff a little bit that I was playing at
Prometheus?
The time, so that probably helped. The what?
Like, are you Prometheus describing the plot of
Star
Prometheus?
Wars? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, exactly. But no, I liked it. But then they actually did like the issues of the story, and they had the Force Hound or something.
Ugh.
It was just not great.
But Star Wars Legacy, I don't know if any of you have read that, but the one with Luke's distant descendant, Cade Skywalker, who badass who, it's still going on, I believe.
Really?
But yeah, I mean, he's just this badass who doesn't want to have anything to do with the Force. He's kind of a renegade.
Is this the guy, does he have dreads or like face paint or something?
Kind of like
face tattoos.
Yeah. Face tattoos.
And like the ghost of Luke is trying to convince him to like bring balance to the Force, and he's like, no.
Unlike my dad brought balance the bad way. Yeah, I didn't get into any of the post, original trilogy people. Like, the furthest I got was some of the Zahn and Kevin Anderson books, where I got to, and Thrawn and all that stuff. And that was really cool.
Started the Jedi Academy.
Yeah, I still have those books. I love those.
And the kids are running around.
But, I mean, past that, the whole New Order stuff.
Yeah, I didn't read that far into it either.
And they've rolled some of that into the old Republic stuff, which is kind of weird, and I don't know when it happens, but then I read up on it, and I'm like, oh, that's an old, or the New Order thing, some alien race that they fight. I don't know. Like, I stopped reading the Star Wars books a while ago, and there have been so many. It's kind of ridiculous.
I read the Darth Maul novel.
Yeah. You like Darth Maul,
though. Just love Darth Maul. He's like the Boba Fett of my generation.
Yeah.
Like the sort of background character, very silent hunter, cool weapons, cool design.
Cool spaceship.
Cool spaceship, dies in a very embarrassing way.
That's well put. I never thought about that.
Although not dead.
No,
he's still kicking.
He's still kicking with robot legs.
With his giant spider robot legs.
Sorry, that's kind of ridiculous.
His return in Clone Wars was so well done. I think it's the best you could possibly do it.
Oh, yeah. It's actually really awesome. Okay. I was skeptical, too. But
okay. First,
but
like,
it was
how
awesome.
He survives to like his mental state when they find him again. And he's got this like crazy junk scrap robotic body that he it looks like a spider's body and spider legs. And he's like in a junkyard and
completely
he's, like, insane. Completely
yeah.
insane. His brother Savage Opress finds him and brings him to these like force witches who like where they give him like a magic lobotomy and like fix him and it's
and they like
else.
Pull all the insanity out of his
yeah.
head using the force.
Witches.
Yeah,
that's
yes. they become a big part and like they're very powerful in the Clone Wars.
A very Macbethian to have the force witches.
They're very Macbethian actually.
Nice. So should we go on to the growing up gay in Star Wars?
Yeah.
Our little let's bring it to a little personal note. I actually, the more we talked about this before we started recording, I actually do feel like I kind of probably did have a bit of a sort of a, like a relationship with Star Wars and coming out, because the whole thing of Luke's journey is coming to accept who he is as a Jedi, someone who mm-hmm. has this legacy. And one of the things about coming out and realizing you're gay and kind of coming to terms with it is your who you are and your legacy.
And
you
your
know?
Uncle shows you how to use, you know.
Yeah, and you go off with an old man.
Moisture farm.
Your phallic object.
No, I mean, there's lots of, like, you know, kind of sexy, funny metaphors in Star Wars. But in a profound way, like, the story of, you know, discovering yourself is kind of a gay man and woman's journey. So,
it is.
I had never thought about that until we started talking about this episode. And that's probably why it resonates with me more than, like, say, Star Trek. Mm-hmm. Where there have been at least, especially in Next Gen and Deep Space Nine, there have been numerous gay characters and situations and relationships, you know. In Star Wars, it's like, yeah, we got nothing. Mm-hmm. But we yet, I think a lot of gay men probably relate more strongly to it.
Oh, wait, that reminds me, just backtracking a second, to the Old Republic.
Yeah.
When originally people asked, why are there no... why can't we have gay relationships when you can in most other BioWare games? Then the statement, their response was there are no gay characters in Star Wars.
Which doesn't
but
matter.
I feel like that was a mandate
from
sort of
Lucas?
Handed down, and
yeah.
that was what he just had to say. But now they decided to actually put it in the game due to fan response.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back is like... well, Drew, you were saying... What were you saying about it before?
Well... I mean, I basically was saying what Brian was saying just a minute ago. I was also going to add that it's hard to remember now, but between maybe the mid-80s to the late 90s, Star Wars was totally passé. Like, there was nothing new coming out in Star Wars. There were a handful of books, you know. It wasn't popular, part of popular culture at all. It seemed very old-fashioned before the prequels came out. And so... For me, growing up, I was such a huge Star Wars nerd, and no one around me knew what Star Wars was. I was kind of ashamed of it. I was a little embarrassed. It was almost like I was in the closet about being a Star Wars fan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was back then. I mean, now kids love Star Wars. They're running around with lightsabers.
It's so different.
It's like, very different.
You're absolutely right. You know what? The real turn of it was the Timothy Zahn novels. And they did the three sequel novels, the mm-hmm. Heir to the Empire, and I forgot what the other two were. The Last Command, I think, is one of them.
Those were the three books by Timothy Zahn.
Right, and
yeah.
they were the first officially licensed, Lucas is saying, yeah, this is cool, we're good with this, expansion to the universe that had been after the original trilogy. And that, I think, happened only a few years before the new trilogy was conceived or started or whatever. And I think there's a real thing there where, yeah, it was in the closet. You know, people just didn't really care about Star Wars. It was kind of a mm-hmm. cult thing almost. I mean, it was still like a lot of people knew about it, but they just didn't like take it that seriously. It was like, oh, that's some cool space sci-fi thing from the late 70s, early 80s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But when you were talking about that, it reminds me of my, and this is kind of recent too, Tron and Doctor Who, both mm-hmm. properties now yep. a lot of people know about, whether it's the movies, the TV show in Doctor Who's case, and like the cartoon in Tron's case, Tron Uprising, and how all these kids now growing up like knowing what Tron was. Like 3 years ago, I was like this dork who just like loved Tron and then had an obsession with my little like frisbee, thinking it was a like a light what do they call them? Identity disc, you know? But I mean, gay men, I think, and maybe I'm projecting, but it sounds like from informal talking, like we attach ourselves to these kind of
fringe
obscure things that we can kind of invest in, you know. Dune was a big one for me too, and it was the same kind of thing where I just got so invested in this world, maybe because it's kind of an escapist thing. If we're, especially if you're like gay and you're dealing with like the identity crisis and you have people picking on you in school, it's nice to have that escapism sort of thing.
And I mean, all of those are kind of escapist, but definitely Star Wars an escape.
Star Wars,
especially for a child,
is definitely at the forefront of this. But I think it's in general, just being a nerd used to be, which goes hand in hand with being a fan of Star Wars and Star Trek and Tron and everything, is was not in vogue, as you're saying, and was not popular, and you got ridiculed for it. But now, like hand in hand with being gay, it's like the cool thing to do. It's like at the front of pop culture right now. Like, what is one of the biggest conventions in the world? It's like San Diego Comic Con.
Right.
And what is the number one TV show on TV? It's Big Bang Theory. And you know, the biggest movies of the year are all superhero movies and sci-fi movies, and you know, so it really has just taken control of you know, pop culture.
And being gay now is cool too.
Yeah, it's like super cool. It's like totally awesome.
Oh yeah, we're so cool.
You know, it is more accepting, just the way nerds are more accepting. Oh, yeah. And you can sort of like be comfortable being a nerd or walking down the street wearing a, you know, Princess Leia, We Can Do It, you know, Rosie the Riveter shirt.
Who would wear that?
Who would wear that? Exactly.
Not me.
You know, you can you can wear that just like you can like walk down the street holding hands with your boyfriend if
in
you're a gay
places.
Man or well,
in major
yeah,
cities, maybe.
That's true.
Not in Mississippi. Is that, I think Mississippi is where that openly gay, a candidate who's openly gay for like the mayor or something of the town, like body is down in the river, was probably like foul play or something. So I you know,
You also can't be an open Star Wars fan in Mississippi.
That's funny. I don't like those Jedi.
Correlation
parts
there.
You know, and if you're from Mississippi, we really apologize. I'm sure you're lovely people. We just don't want to go there. So I don't know, like I think the escapist thing, and I mean just being whisked away from a life that is to you, just like think about the first time you went to a gay bar or club and it was like a whole new world had opened up for you. I mean, for Luke, being in the freaking moisture farm or whatever, and then having someone come along and say, your father was this warrior, you know, you have a legacy of this power, of the, being the force sensitive, I can train you to be a Jedi, just come away with me. I mean, that's kind of a sort of a analogous to, you know, that first man in your life that kind of whisks you away from your, you know, whatever you were doing, or just getting into the dating scene and becoming a big old whore. You know.
Yep. And then entering Mos Eisley Cantina for the first time.
It's exactly. Like
drag queens and bears.
Oh my God.
All sorts of creatures.
You know, that's a very, I love that, because I think in Mos Eisley there were like bear creatures and the weird, like sort of, remember the effeminate guy with like the cigarette, like the little pipe or hookah? Or
total
whatever?
Daddy.
Oh my God. We need to watch that. I need to watch that again. Yeah, that'd be like a nice analysis to take all those creatures and characters and like map them to different gay characters.
And the two that harass Luke.
Oh, yeah.
Like my friend doesn't like you.
There's always two like
that. I don't like you.
Throw in shade.
But he really likes you.
Exactly.
Well, this was good. This was awesome. You know, thank you, Drew. Drew's from First Order Historians. I didn't mention that at the front, which is a cool website that talks about pop culture and beer and
beer. Really?
Yeah. There's beer reviews, sports reviews, movies, music, all
review?
Sorts of things. I would like to. I'm not. I don't know as much about beer as I should, but
all right.
But I'm a fan.
Very cool. Of course, you know, Q and I are from Flame On. And if you're listening to this show, you've definitely heard of us. But we want to hear from you. Again, we are trying to get more interaction from you, the listener. We know you're out there listening. I hear stories all the time. Eric, just the other day at the comic shop, said a fan came in who listens to the show and wanted his autograph. which what was the hell?
And she was she's not even from Orlando. Yeah, she's not like a local listener.
Somehow she found maybe Nerdy Show first and then found it. But I mean, seriously, if you're out there listening, you can get us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter.
Flame On Podcast, at Flame On Podcast.
There you go. Please. We love that Twitter account. And you know, we'd love to have some more followers. But, you know, even there's forums on Nerdy Show Network you can check out. And you can just reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you.
And I'm going to close out the show by putting a little pressure on the both of you, probably more than Brian. But I want you to say your favorite Star Wars quote.
That's no moon.
And Drew?
Let me think. There's so many.
We have to pick one.
The one I'm always using around town that no one ever gets is, there's never been such a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Awesome.
And to close it out, I'm just going to execute Order 69. Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and a generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital D-string on our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And be sure to check back to flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.